This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. Hello and welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. This is your host, the Vegas Golf Coach, Gaylord Rhodes, and it's December now, getting chilly, and so not getting out to play as much, and fortunately I have an indoor teaching center, so my students can beat the weather in the winter and beat the heat in the summer here in Vegas, which is advantageous. But I'm bringing back an old friend of mine who's been on the show before, Bubba Duncan, and just a great friend. Bob and I worked together in Sacramento years ago when I was a regional training director for Henry Griffiths, and he was one of my master fitters. And Bob always kind of thinks out of the box, and it's always fascinating to hear his theories on things. And over the years, now that Bob's gone off up into Oregon and developed a program called the GPS system, which we discussed once before on the show, a fascinating way that he takes his students out on the golf course and teaches them how to hit all the various shots from the various lies and various positions they might get into on the golf course, which I think as a coach and a teacher, if you're not taking your students and you're not doing these types of on-course lessons, that you're missing the boat. And you're not really growing the game, you're just giving golf lessons. And I think I really love Bob's approach, and I'm excited today because Bob has now developed an app for Android and iPhones that actually kind of explains the different situations and slope and angles that you might encounter on the golf course. And so with that being said, I'm going to bring Bob in and let him talk to you a little bit about his app and his philosophy on teaching. So, Bob, how are you, and how have you been since we last did the show?
Oh, really good. I tell you, I've had a lot of things happen. One of the neat things that happened is I was awarded the Teacher of the Year Award for the Oregon PGA, so that was a really neat, unexpected award that I just received. So.
Congratulations on that. It's well-deserved. And I think a lot of it has to do with your innovative GPS teaching program, and just for those that didn't get a chance to hear the first show we did, why don't you kind of go back a little bit and kind of explain what your golf positioning system is all about? It's this phenomenal GPS thing you program, and then obviously we're going to lead into the app that you created that kind of goes and functions with that system that you developed.
Sure. What's interesting, and I don't use a lot of technology. In fact, I barely use technology at all to teach. And a lot of people were wondering and asking me why I the case, and I say, well, I want the launch monitor to be the golf course. So as much as we want to improve and optimize golf swings and ball flights, the golf course is out there, and it's there. The purpose of the course is really to mitigate your ball flight. So like David McClay Kidd told me, he said, I don't design 18 driving ranges. So it's 18 golf holes, and each hole is different. It has different slopes and wind conditions and grass conditions and landing zones. And practically every shot you hit on the golf course has got something different about it, in terms of whether you want to hit it high or low or left or right or farther or shorter. The GPS system, it's short for the golfer positioning system. And with GPS, I just worked through all of the variables that I could find to try to understand what the influence of all these variables were. So the influences on the golf course are the grass condition that you're hitting from, like if it's a tight lie or a fluffy lie or a flyer or in the fairway bunker, whatnot. And another influence is the slope you're on, so whether it's uphill, downhill, or side hill. And then another influence is the wind and what that's going to do to the ball. And then another influence is the landing zone. So GPS is all about trying to assess and evaluate these different variables so that the player can make an informed decision as to how he wants to proceed to play the game. So my contention is you really don't learn how to play the game on the driving range.
Correct.
You got to take it on the golf course and you have to put it on these different conditions and then figure out what to do with it.
Yeah. You know, I believe that if your whole existence of learning golf is on the driving range, all you're learning is golf swing. You're not learning the game.
Yeah, you're not learning how to play golf. And so everybody who hits a 7-iron 150 yards on the range, well, that's from a really good lie that's flat. How many of those are you going to get on the golf course?
Right, yeah, true. I remember way back when we were in Sacramento at Hagen Oaks working together, you kind of started developing this theory back then, and it's nice to see that it's come full circle and that you use it and you've created a model for it. And I do believe that we have to get, as coaches and teachers, if we're not getting our students out on the golf course, that we're really not doing the right job. We're just basically teaching golf swing. And I don't think that really could guarantee that someone's going to have the passion for the game, particularly if they're just beginners learning. So how soon do you take them on the golf course, Bob?
I try to get people on the golf course as soon as possible. Usually what they're looking for is some kind of correction in the technique that they're using to hit a golf ball on the range.
Right.
So, for example, a guy who slices the ball, well, shoot, I can fix most slices in 15, 20 minutes. It's not that hard to fix a slice. And oftentimes it can be a bit of club fitting involved in it.
But yes.
So usually I'll say, okay, if it's the club, let me test this club on the player and see what happens to the ball flight. And the only three things that it can be is whether the club fits, whether the grip is appropriate on the golf club, what you're doing with your angle of attack and path.
Right.
So if you get a golf club that they should not hit a slice with and you start working on the grip a little bit, those two things usually fix it. And if we got to go into angle of attack on the ball, that's pretty easy. We just quit hitting down on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fixing a slice is not that big of a deal. But getting them on the golf course and having them understand what these influences are doing to the ball and doing to the impact is to me, it's paramount. So if I never saw my player on the golf course, I never see him play, how do I know what to tell him how to? You know, I can fix his golf swing all I want, but I need to figure out how to teach him how to play golf.
Yeah, and what you find out a lot of times when you get him out there is when they address the ball on the golf course, their alignments are so wacky, they don't even really have an idea where they're aiming, and a lot of their good shots are what they consider bad shots were a good shot. They just weren't lined up right. There's all sorts of things you see when you get them on the golf course. So that being said, I mean, I think it's a phenomenal approach of teaching, and I'm kind of jealous that you have access to the course like you do, because I have limited access at my facility, so I have to do everything indoors, and of course the lie is level. So along the way, you decided to develop a golf app that deals with the different slopes you might face on the golf course. So what motivated you to do that? And kind of tell us about this app, because it's kind of cool, actually.
Well, it's called the GPS Launch Pro app, and I always knew what the ball was supposed to do on the side of a hill. And at one point in time, I watched one of the best-known teachers of the game talking about how to hit a ball above his feet. This was 10, 12 years ago, and he said, okay, this ball is above my feet and it should go left. So he said, I choke up on the club, and I lean into the hill, and then I try to hit it straight. And I thought, well, you just said that ball's supposed to go left, but why do you try to hit it straight? You know, I was sitting there thinking, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't make sense.
No, it made no sense whatsoever. And so I thought, well, what he's doing is he's going to put the club face in total opposition to the hillside. So he's not only choking up on the club, he's leaning in, which is going to raise the shaft, and the toe is going to go down and the heel is going to come up.
Right.
And he's going to stick the toe of the club in the ground. And I thought, well, frankly, that's kind of stupid.
Well, it might make it go straight or to the right, but...
Well, that's the problem. It doesn't work with the slope, so you don't really know what it's going to do.
Exactly.
You don't know if you're going to hit it fat or thin or to the right, or, you know, it's just unpredictable. And so I thought, well, if I spend so much time trying to get my club head to come to a square and level position at impact on a flat lie, then why don't I try to match that flat lie position on a slope? So in other words, I want my sole of my club to match the surface I'm hitting. And if I get that, then I have something that's more predictable than if I try to hit it straight all the time.
Right. So you just allow the sole to line up with the slope and then just swing with the slope.
Yes.
And so that would cause you to have just a bit of an aiming correction to allow it to move left back toward the target if it was above
right.
your feet.
And it's, the question is how I got to the app. The question is about how much do I have to aim to the right or left to allow for this to happen. And it became a really interesting mathematical problem to try to figure out, well, what club am I hitting? How far is it going to go? And how far offline is it? And so I took some time and I worked through the math on it, and I figured out a lot of things about the slope and the loft and the distance. And those are the three basic things that you compute to find out how far offline you need to aim it. So to simplify this, for example, if the ball is above your feet and you're a right-handed player, the ball wants to go to the left. And so if you hit a sand wedge, it's going to go more left than if you hit a 7-iron. And so my math on my phone app on the Launch Pro takes the slope that the ball is on, and you input the distance you're going to hit it, you input the club you're going to hit, and the Launch Pro determines how far right or left you need to aim the ball to get it to go to the target.
Yeah, and I've actually experimented around with it. It's kind of cool, to be honest with you. And it's very, honestly, pretty accurate. I went out and hit a few shots off some slopes and kind of used the app, you know, and it's really cool. It's got the gyroscope effect in it, and...
Right. As I'm speaking to you on my iPhone here, I've got the app up on my screen, and I've got it set and locked at a 7-degree slope. This is a ball that's 7 degrees above your feet, and with a span wedge we're going to put in.
While you're doing that, what I found interesting was with your phone horizontal. And moving it, you can actually, if you kind of line it up with the slope of the ground, it actually tells you what degree of slope there is there.
Exactly. And so it does measure the slope for you.
Exactly. That was my question when I first saw it, was how does it measure the slope? And then, because I was standing the phone straight up and it just wasn't working correctly, and I finally tilted it over and I went out and I laid it on a slope, the bottom edge of my phone, on the same line as the slope, and it actually gave me a really correct slope angle, which is really cool.
Exactly. So I've got this 7-degree slope, and I've got a sand wedge, and I've got 90 yards. So the Launch Pro tells me that I need to aim to the right 47 feet. Okay, so 45 feet is 15 yards. So I've got a 7-degree slope that my sand wedge is going to go left over 15 yards. that's pretty significant.
That is significant. And what distance did you, and so you actually plug in the distance that you're going to hit the sand wedge as well to
right.
give you, to make it accurate.
Right. So I plugged in 90 yards.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So you're aiming 15 yards off target for a 90-yard shot.
Right. And so if you're trying to hit a straight shot and you're on a 7-degree slope and you pull it 15 yards, and I would say, well, weren't you supposed to do that? I mean, that's what the slope is trying to tell you.
Exactly.
And, you know, people say, well, no, I'm supposed to hit it straight. And I think, well, man, not in this case. You know, so if I take that same 7-degree slope and I plug in a 7-iron at 150 yards, okay, now the launch pro is telling me I need to aim 37 feet to the right. Okay, so
which is just 10 yards.
36 is 12 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hitting a 7-iron. I got to aim at least 12 yards offline to get it to go to the target.
And that's if you're, and then if a lot of people, the fact of the matter is you coach them as well how to set up so it allows the slope to work.
Yes.
And that's
the
big
key
secret.
Is yeah. trying to get the club to match the slope and the swing to match. So if we do that, then it becomes a predictable result. Okay. So the other day I was working with Bill Pressey on my range wedges, which is a product I have that slides under a range mat and gives you a side hill lie. And Bill was trying all kinds of different curves off of these slopes. And my premise is that if you match the slope, you're going to get the most predictable result.
His finding was?
Oh, and so he tried these different shots on these different slopes. And he's a really good player, and what he was experiencing was which ones were more or less predictable. It wasn't that he couldn't hit them. He could hit them. You know, he could take a ball below his feet and hit a bit of a draw. But it really wasn't as predictable as taking that ball below his feet and hitting the fade. You know, I sit back and I say, well, you can do whatever you want. I just want to find out what's the most predictable shot that you can hit from this surface and this lie.
And being a good player, you know, I mean, manipulate, you know, what we're trying to do with the club. But for just, you know, for the average amateur, having this kind of information and coaching them on how to adjust to the slope could be very, very, very beneficial.
Yeah, and so take for example, let's take a 9-iron on a 5-degree slope that's below your feet. Now, 5 degrees isn't, you know, it's not huge, but it's significant. And then the player, let's say the pin is on the left side of the green, and the player wants to hit a draw into that left side of the green. Well, with that ball 5 degrees below his feet, he needs to overcome that right hand or fade influence of 5 degrees. He's got to overcome that just to hit it straight, much less to hit a draw. So if the ball's in one direction below your feet and you're trying to curve it to the left, you know, that doesn't make any sense at all in terms of being a predictable result.
Yeah, I don't know that you could curve it very effectively. You could pull it, but I don't know if you could curve it very well.
Yeah, my favorite was I had a student that I had him at 8 degrees above his feet with a 6-iron, and he was trying to hit a fade to the right, and he hit 5 balls that wound up short left, and he said, okay, now I get your point.
Exactly. So it's a very interesting app, and it does have a tremendous amount of value in from an educational standpoint on, and it goes hand in hand with your golf positioning system, your golfer positioning system. So let the audience know how do they get this? Where do they find this app?
Sure. The iPhone version is in the Apple App Store. So you just go to the App Store and you search for GPS Launch Pro. And the Android version is in the Google Play Store. And the Android version doesn't have the GPS in the front of the name. So it's the Launch Pro Android Store.
And we'll make sure we post all this information up on this with the podcast when it comes out. So I know you're still doing some upgrades on it. Do you have a frequently asked question page on there?
Absolutely. It's on my website at golfycoach.com. It's under one of the tabs, the tab for the GPS launch from the menu on the homepage.
Well, can they go to your website and give us that website again? Can they go there and kind of link over to the app?
Yes. And the website is golfecoach.com, all one word, golfecoach.com.
So I've been messing around with it. It really is kind of cool. And, you know, once I figured out how to work it, and I got it really early on, because you were, thanks for sending that to me. And now that I understand it, I like I said, I'm out there, but when my guys are in the cart barn are going, what are you doing out there? And I'm over there by the chipping green, and I'm all where the slopes are, and I'm kind of figuring, because, you know, it actually affects chipping too. And
yes, it does.
And I punched in a 20-yard shot with a 7-iron and put it on the slope, and it actually was kind of accurate. I was impressed.
Well, the math is pretty solid on it. It's a bit of a complex algorithm to put together. And fortunately, I remembered quite a bit of what I learned in college, and I found the right books to figure it out. It works. It's really good.
Well, if any of you guys know Bob out there, I can tell you this, that he has a very, very creative mind. And he's always kind of been thinking out of the box when it comes to instruction and everything. And I learned a lot from you back in the day when we were working together. So you've got this app, you've got your golf position, your golfer positioning system that you're teaching. Where are you now in the winter months? Because I know you're up in Oregon. Tell everybody kind of where you are and how they can find you.
In the summer, generally April 1st to November 30th, I'm in Creswell, Oregon at Emerald Valley Golf Club. And by the way, that is so well named. That place is so green, it's crazy.
I can imagine.
It's awesome. Emerald Valley Golf Club. And right now I'm in Pasadena, and I'm going to work with a friend of mine, Justin Doyle, down here, who works with the SCGA, and we're going to put on a couple of events. And then in early February, I'm headed to Sydney, Australia, to work with our good friends David Reckless and Jeff Mansfield.
Yes.
I'm working with them for a little over a month. And we're also going to play golf at Barnboogle Dunes in Tasmania.
Nice.
Awesome. And so we're doing that. And then
Do you run across Paul Buchanan when you're in Australia?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see Paul, too. Yeah, cool. Absolutely. Paul's awesome.
Paul's a good friend of ours and was We all kind of ran the roads together with Henry Griffiths back in the day.
Yeah, he was the one that told me, you can't help everybody, so you got to help the ones that want the help.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so then in early March, I'm back to L.A. for a couple of weeks, and then mid-March, I'm back to Creswell in Oregon again.
So I know you've got the range wedges, and I need to get some of those, by the way, Bob.
I'm working up an order as we speak.
Okay, good. So when you get some, I'll tell you what, I'll send you my impact trainer. You can send me some golf wedges.
You got it.
All right, buddy. So, and what they do is that they enable you to take and put them underneath the mat you're practicing on and get non-level lies in downhill, uphill, sidehill. And so it's really cool. As soon as I know you've got some coming in that are going to be available. How would they order those?
It's a small run. I don't do a big run of them, so I'm taking orders as we speak for them, and I need to get about 50 orders to make it work, and I've got about 20 or 25 orders at this point.
What's the cost on them?
Cost is $199
okay.
Per unit, and I have 4-degree and 6-degree slopes. You get over 6 degrees, and you'll find that on the golf course, but it's not necessarily something that you really want to train for.
No, but you'd have to be hitting it like Jordan did at the British Open to get those kind of lies.
Yeah. But the range wedges are, it's an awesome product, and it grew out of a story with a gentleman I was teaching who I said, well, you need to go on the golf course to practice these. And he said, well, you need to come up with a product that I can practice them here with. And so I said, okay, I'll do it your way.
Yeah, no, hey, smart move. So like I said before, Or and when we were talking earlier, is that I'll swap you one of my impact trainers for some of those things.
Yeah,
So,
that'd be great.
yeah. In any case, Bob, what else would you like to share with us before we go? I think we kind of covered it. I got to tell everyone that if you're up in the Oregon area and you get a chance to go work with Bob, it's a fascinating experience and it will help your game beyond belief. That being said, ball's in your court to close out the show.
Okay. Well, my whole philosophy is I want to do things that help the player play the game, and I want to be the go-to person for that player to understand what he needs to do on the golf course. And so I feel that if I never go on the golf course with that player, I don't know what he's doing out there. So he may complain one day that he's hitting all pulls and incidentally had all balls above his feet when he was playing. And the next day he might hit all fades and he had all balls below his feet. You know, there's things that happen on the golf course that are not really verifiable, or you can't really recreate them on the driving range. You got to get out in the golf course and see what happens. And when David McClay Kidd says he doesn't design 18 driving ranges, he's telling you something. And that something is you got to figure out how to play the game on the golf course. So
Yeah, and I
that's me.
agree. And I knew you'd eventually find a place where you could do your golfer positioning system. And I know you had that opportunity at Hagen Oaks. I had it when I was in Sacramento working with my students. I'd always take them out on the golf course and play some holes with them. And I think that's how we grow the game. And I think your philosophy is awesome. And your app is very, very good and very innovative, and it kind of piqued my interest a little bit, and I started messing around with it, and it's going to help me a little bit to understand exactly how to let the slope work the ball, because a lot of times I'll try to fight the slope a little bit, and it ends up not being very good.
Well, it's interesting to me that I can watch a tour event, and if I can figure out what slope the guy's on, I can usually tell whether he's going to be successful or unsuccessful with his approach to the next shot. So when I get down to Australia, we all sit at and watch the tour pros with these slopes, and we like to predict when they're going to fail, which is kind of unusual, but it's kind of fun.
No, but it makes sense with the way you think, I know for sure. So, well, listen, tell everybody down in Australia, I said, hey, tell Paul
You bet.
particularly, I said, hey, and have a good holiday season and a good winter. And when you get your range regs out, let's get back and do a little another discussion. It's always great to have you on the show, Bob. Good friend, and happy holidays, man.
You got it. Thanks, Gaylord. Happy holidays.
Okay, and I just with that, I'm going to sign out and say thanks for listening in. And again, all the information that Bob shared with you will be on the podcast site. Merry Christmas. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to the golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.